His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. This is Wednesday Live. And, you know, the last few weeks, Dave, been thinking we're going to have to get some more lively introduction music there.
Yes, yes.
Because I kind of feel like I'm going to snooze off when that's kicking off. But listen, so glad you're listening today. Yeah. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And that's at 89.9. It's right now about a minute after 11 o'clock. And we have just a little bit of mail, David.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to have a most exciting, riveting morning with Dwight and Angela Bell. Let me tell you. Probably a lot of you know them, but I even heard the story a long time ago that Angela actually did some playing down at, I think, some of the Trump headquarters down south. But, you know, God puts the body of Christ in all kinds of places. So, you know, it's a good thing that we make ourselves available. Just never know how that witness, maybe from a few years ago, is working now. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Okay, David, what do we have?
Well, we have a couple things here. One is a lovely note from our friend Diane in Tequesta. And she's
very faithful giver.
Very faithful giver.
Very faithful, yeah.
And she says, "Dear WCNO, you are all doing a wonderful job spreading the gospel." And she encloses a check for a gift. "Thanks for all you do. God bless you every day, Diane."
Awesome.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, Diane.
It's a great encourager for us.
We always read the mail when it comes in, and we pray over your prayer request, and know that when you send those in online, we will get them, and we will read them, and we will share them.
Amen. Now, here's a note from Janine in Lantana. It says, "Prayers for God's blessings for a healthy and joyful new year in Christ alone for WCNO."
Amen. We'll receive that. Thank you, Janine. That's awesome.
And then our good brother, Celestine.
Celestine
has been so faithful over such a long time.
And, he has.
And he's kind of going through some stuff right now, and he's asking for prayer, but he says, "Continue to pray for me and my situation so that I can continue to help out. I want to thank you all for all of your prayers for me. Thank you very much, Celestine."
Amen.
And we continue to keep you in prayer, brother.
We do, for sure, for sure. And thank you for your support, and thank you for your many years of listening. Yep.
And the only other thing I have is whenever Martin County has an info release for committees or advisory groups that citizens can sit on, we let our believing audience know that they have an opportunity to serve the Lord in a very specific capacity on these advisory boards. So, Martin County, there's a construction industry licensing board vacancy. Of course, all these boards advise the county commissioners relative to their area of discipline. And so they're looking for, there's one position, a consumer representative who is not and has never been a member or practitioner of any profession regulated by the construction industry licensing board, which makes sense. You don't have a conflict of interest. But if you're interested in being on this board to advise the commission, you can contact Donna Gordon in the Martin County Administrative Office. The number there is 772-288-5756, or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us.
Just do it.
Just do it.
For all of you out there that are saying, "I want to do more than sit on a chair." someplace in the kingdom, sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises, and you're like, I'm ready to get out and do something. Why not get involved in the community? Get out of the salt shaker salt and get into the local government. Get out, build relationships, become a part of what's going on in our communities. And Martin County's really good. They send us, we know how to get these reports. We somehow got connected with them. But down in Palm Beach County, Indian River, St. Lucie, Okeechobee, you know, we're in 12 counties, David. So I guess if everybody sent us their information, we wouldn't have time for the show. So maybe it's good that Martin County is the only one that's on top of this. But, you know, Palm Beach County, we hear from the I hate to say it, but it's basically the garbage department. They tell us when they're running and when they're not. But anyhow.
It's nice to know if you're down there.
It is nice to know. All right. Welcome, Dwight Bell.
Hey, well, thanks, Jonathan. It's so good to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity to come and to share our passion with you.
Let's make sure we get your mic on there.
Yeah, you're on.
Let's try that one more time. Welcome, Dwight Bell. Let's see if we can hear you now.
Hey, well, thank you, Jonathan. This is a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to come and to share our vision and passion.
Well, we're excited to hear about it, and I've known you a while, and you have brought your young wife along as well.
Young wife, thank you.
Well, of course. How long have you all been married?
It's been 37 years now.
37?
I tell people she has been the best decision in my life.
Best decision
well,
in
maybe,
your life.
Maybe second best, right? There's that other one that rates up there
real
good.
Yeah, I hear
right?
that. Yeah.
Angela, we're so glad that you are here as well today.
I'm blessed to be here. Thank you. It's awesome to see you and Sherry.
And tell me about, you have a family too, I know.
We do.
Are they all boys?
They are all boys. Three boys.
Oh, three boys.
And they're
okay.
grown, and they're all married.
Really?
And I have
How did you do that?
Four
I still have
grandsons.
Oh, my. I'm going to have to get some tutoring here. Four grandsons. Wow, that is awesome.
The oldest is 16. The youngest is 3.
Wow.
Mm. And youngest I've got three beautiful and smart young ladies for my daughter-in-laws.
Wow, that is most excellent. How did you all meet?
I was selling computer software and to real estate attorneys and title companies, and I was coming back from Michigan, and I stop at Chattanooga the days before cell phones, and I call the office and check in, and my brother who wrote this program got on the phone and said, hey, I'm having trouble with this law firm in Atlanta. Can you go in there and get that straightened out for me? So took a left there at 285 and go in this law firm, and I'm working on it, and Angela comes in for a job interview.
And
so I'm
really?
Sitting there working on this thing, and I see all of these young ladies coming in for the interview, and I knew she was going to get the job. And so, of course, she doesn't remember me from that day, but I do. And then, a few months later, short story, she asked me out on a date. So
you asked him out?
I did. He was so shy.
Yes,
he was a shy. Okay.
He was a shy guy. But look what the Lord has
He's
done.
Not shy anymore, is he?
No, not at all.
He's not shy. Wow, that is awesome. And so you said that's 36,
37?
37
years
37
ago.
Years ago. Awesome. Mm. Awesome. Well, I knew that that you all were young because my wife and I were a little ahead of that, actually quite a bit ahead of that. Well, that is awesome. Dwight, tell us just a pinch of your God story. How did you come into the kingdom?
Well, it really all started when I was a teenager, and I started making some stupid mistakes, stupid decisions, and wanted to go into adulthood, and short story how I got there, I wanted to be real wealthy. And I didn't think, I thought if you were rich enough and smart enough, the rules didn't really apply to you. Mm-hmm. And going to adulthood, making bad decisions. And my dad was a criminal defense attorney, and he always said, if you commit a crime, do it alone and keep your mouth shut. But so I followed his advice. So I never got caught doing anything until I got caught by Jesus.
Wow.
You know, and met him. And really didn't walk the walk until we met our good friend Jim Way back in 2000, really through Angela's music. And I was wanting to stick in there to help Angela with her music career, thinking Jim could help her with that. And of course, Jim's mission was to raise men up in the ministry.
Always was.
And so we had that cross purposes there, but he won. And he grabbed a hold of me, he wouldn't let go, and started having me do some things, overcame my shyness, and one day I realized, I'm enjoying this. And I could see that I had influence, and I've started my walk, and that's mainly how I really got going.
Excellent. So, Angela, tell us about your faith walk, your God walk. How did you come into the kingdom?
Well, when I was young, I got saved, but then I guess I've learned that I didn't accept Christ as Lord of my life. He was Savior of my life.
So you believed in Him, and you prayed the prayer, and you walked the aisle, but
I didn't walk the life, and no. So I basically was headed for self-destruction, and yep. So by the time I got to be, because I left home at 17, and so by the time I left home, and right before I met my husband, I had rededicated my life to the Lord, and I said, Lord, just either take me or bring me somebody to love. And honest to goodness, I had to get out of the music business for a while. I went to that job interview intentionally to change my lifestyle, and gave my life back to the Lord. And 2 weeks later, I met my husband. But a couple of months later, I asked him out just because I had done some research to find out about him. And I said, I just want a friend. I don't want any weird stuff. And so the Lord just, I don't know, He just changed my whole life, and I just have become more in love with the Lord every day. And I just knew that God had brought Him to me to love me. And so I just began my walk, started studying the Word, and so all my songs are about, they were inspired by God and by my husband, but it's all about the Lord. And so I try to use that to share the gospel with anybody and everybody, and just to keep learning more and more about the Lord and keep applying it to my life.
Amen.
And it's just fun to watch.
Well,
fun to
amen.
Watch God do what He's doing. It's just unbelievable.
Well, you know, we have a president-elect whose name is Donald Trump, and I remember early on when I started hearing about Dwight and Angela Bell, Jim said, Jonathan, you know, we're going to have we're going to have Dwight and Angela Bell. Angela is going to be providing the worship for this event that's coming up. And I said, Jim, can she sing? And he said, she can play and she can sing. In fact, she's done some things down with the president. Well, he wasn't president then. I guess it was just Donald Trump. So we don't want to spend a lot of time with that, but
no,
what was that about? But what was that about?
So
I mean,
was,
you were, what, a so performer? Was, or what
yeah.
What took you there?
Yeah, so I was teaching piano and voice lessons at Boz Piano and Organ in West Palm Beach.
I remember them. We bought a piano from them.
Yep, and so one of my students happened to be the son of the attorney for the Mar-a-Lago Club, and he goes, hey, okay. I want you to meet... you need to come and teach piano and voice to all the members at the club.
Hmm.
He said, I'll make a call. So anyway, da-da-da. And one day he said, okay, well, I made an appointment. Trump will be over there, so you're going to go audition and meet him. And so that was Marla at the time, Marla,
okay, Marla.
And him. So
okay.
I went in and had my audition. And then he said, well, talk to the general manager here and what do you like to do, play or sing better? And I said, it just kind of goes together. And I don't know. Then from there, it was a year after year after year contract. And I stayed there for, the first time was 4 years. And then my father, I was taking care of him. He passed away. And I said, I need to take a break. I just can't perform. And then came back with a jazz trio the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year we started Wings of Grace Ministries.
Wow.
And so it's just been a...
That kind of brings us up to date, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. It's just so...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what's going on right now. You mentioned Wings of Grace. What is Wings of Grace?
Well, we've wanted to honor the Lord with our service. How can we advance the kingdom really with the things that we love, which music in Angela's case, I've always loved to wheel and deal in real estate, and I became a pilot, so I love to fly. So how could we use those gifts and really our burden for teenagers? As you recall,
okay.
I made mistakes when I was a teen, and then starting walking with the Lord, I look back and say, wow, if I had known all this when I was a teen, would have saved me and a bunch of other people a lot of grief.
Sure.
So we really started a ministry to reach them, especially teens that aren't going to a church. You know, how do you get a teen that has no interest in God or spiritual matters? You know, how do you even connect with them?
Okay.
And so we tried a few things in our home church, getting all the teens together, and I thought I'd instill in them all this wisdom I'd learned through business and that. And within a few minutes, I could tell they had no interest in hearing anything I had to say. just did not connect, you know. And I thought, why not? I thought I was a pretty hip dude, you know.
But yeah.
Anyway, we went out to Alaska in 2005, and we went up in a helicopter, and I fell in love with the machine. I said, I got to do this. And I came back to Florida and went to the flight school, and 4 months later, I'm a helicopter pilot, and then I buy one, and went flying down the beach one day, and it just hit me that all of those aviation principles that I have to learn, that a pilot has to learn to keep safe, I said, these are really biblical principles. And I said, wow, this is the hook. So I could tell teenagers that they can earn a pilot's license. And when I bring them in and teach them that stuff, then I'll lead them to the gospel through the back door.
You know?
So for instance, what's an aviation principle in the Bible? So before we get into the airplane or the helicopter, we do it's called a thorough pre-flight. I mean, we walk all around the bird and, you know, check all the surfaces and the controls and, you know, check the fuel for no water and contaminants, sure, things like that. You know, we want to make sure that it's airworthy before we get into the air, right? So where is that in the Bible? So if you look at Ephesians, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, right? So just think of that. If the way we pre-flight the airplane, if we would pre-flight ourselves every morning with the armor of God, just think how much better our day would go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's excellent.
So that's one of them. Another one is an important one is in the cockpit, we have this concept. It's called the pilot in command concept. So someone has to be in authority of that aircraft, right? So we all like that part. We want to be in authority, right? So as pilot in command, I get to choose how the thing flies. You know, so if air traffic control tells me to go north, but I want to keep going west, I get to make the decision whether I want to do it or not. Now, I better have a pretty good reason for not going north if I want to keep flying, but still, I get to make the decision. On the flip side, I'm totally responsible for the flight. So if anything goes wrong, that comes back to the pilot in command. In fact, we look at these accident investigations, and they always end, you know, the failure of this flight, the cause of this accident was the failure of the pilot in command to ensure adequate fuel reserves. You know, they ran out of fuel, something like that. So really, isn't that we're all going to stand before the Lord and give an accounting of our life, right?
We are
pilot in command of our life, and we can't blame it on anybody else. You know, when that judgment day comes and we're standing there, it's we have
That's
been
awesome.
Pilot in command. So those kind
That's
of
awesome.
Concepts.
So how has this worked as a team? Your music, you're up in the air. How has this worked?
Yes. So we started out. This is just amazing how this thing started. I was just a private pilot around our church in Indy Atlantic at the time of 2010. I stuck some yard signs out, teenagers, free flight lessons, call my number. And we got 19 students.
Wow.
And so they came in and started teaching them ground school, and I gave them a helicopter ride. And then we knew we had to get them in an airplane real quick, so we made some deals and started giving them flight lessons. The in exchange for community service. So the problem with aviation is the expense of it.
Sure.
So that's where the real estate part came in. And I thought, well, the money's going to dry up here real quick if we don't get an income stream. So the ministry started buying foreclosed homes. Remember back in 2010, the market was dead. And the idea is that we'd get the teenagers to work on them to earn flight time, and they learn a work ethic, a work skill, and that kind of thing. Then we'll rent them out, and that'll throw cash off to pay for the flight program. So that's how that
works. Wow. Yeah. You definitely have a business mind, no question.
Oh, yeah. I hate to say no other thing, so we get into that. So then teaching ground school, and a couple of years in, and I was throwing out some test prep questions, you know, and I said, what is a byproduct of lift? And Angela answered, and she said, drag. And so two things came to mind. I said, wow, I've got to be a really good teacher because Angela has absolutely no interest in aviation, and she's learning this stuff. And the other revelation we had is that Angela had no interest in aviation, and she's wasting her time there.
Right.
And so she said, why don't I take kids that don't have any interest in flying like me, and let me see if I can develop their musical skills.
Ah.
Mm. And so we added that. And when you think about it, to be a pilot, it takes 40 hours of instruction. You know, it's pretty easy to become a pilot. Mm. I mean, it's difficult, but 40 hours of instruction. But to play one of those Beethoven things and do it with excellence, I mean, that's years and years of practice and dedication and that. So that's how that came into being. And then the housing, we bought three houses and we rented them out, and I was having trouble with the tenants. And so I think, rarely in our personal holdings have ever had any trouble with tenants. Every once in a while you have one that's bad, but all three of these tenants have tearing up the house and not paying the rent. You know?
Right.
And I'm saying, why is this? And it dawned on me that all of the tenants had been referred by pastors. And because we were getting to be known as a housing, and so there was a failure to communicate, because I'm thinking, if a pastor referred somebody to me, I mean, they got to be gold.
They're going
right?
to pay their bill and they're going to keep it up, right?
Why else would he refer someone?
Right.
Well, I found out why. Because he had a homeless person in his office and he wanted to get rid of him. That's right. But what it did is it opened my eyes. I mean, I knew about homeless people, but the severity of it I did not know. Mm-hmm. And I learned about myself is in our personal holdings, I had circled a lot of people out through our advertising.
Okay.
Because I put first, last, security, we're going to check your references, job references, and all of that. Well, you don't even get them to apply. You know, somebody living in their car, they see that ad, So it opened up our eyes to that. And I thought, wow, here's a whole nother ministry here, because there are some people really, really hurting. I'm going to get calls from women living in cars with children and that kind of thing. So we just threw in the towel and went completely affordable housing. So we say, hey, if you have bad credit, if you have a criminal history, if you have evictions on your record, we might have a home for you. Mm. It's not where have you been, but where do you want to go? So let us tell you about this radical way of living life that brings peace and joy and an abundance. You know, maybe not abundance like the world thinks.
Right.
But if you would embrace this, you will find that things will turn around and you can actually buy your own home. I mean, if you can't do it here, where can you? Mm. But you got to change the way you think. So let's help you with that. And what this is called is the kingdom of God, and the king is Jesus.
Mm.
And if you would walk this way, you will find, and we'll help you buy a home. So we've actually had 10 people now going to buy their own home.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a tough, tough ministry. We've got about 30 rentals up in the Brevard County area. And so I was just praying, how can we increase our numbers of success? And because we're dealing with really, really people have been living in survival mode so long, a lot of them don't want to make the change in their life. And widows and orphans kept coming up in my prayer time. And of course, who are the orphans nowadays? The kids in the foster care system.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So I started thinking about that, and I was naive about foster care and all of that. But within about 2 weeks, I got a phone call from this lady. And she says, Dwight, I'm hearing about your housing. I head up a organization that mentors foster kids, especially kids aging out of foster care. And we really need housing.
Mm.
And after that phone call, within about a week, I've got a team sitting around planning on how we can build housing for children aging out of foster care.
I mean, wow,
that's all a God thing.
So God.
It is so God.
Because I would have never thought of that, you know. And so right now we're building 24 units. We got them under construction. The first phase one, we call it Capernaum Place Apartments. These will all be for kids aging out of foster care. We should be giving out keys this summer.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then we've
got
phase two is in the works. So we'll have 26 there. We already have a single family home right in this area where we're already housing a kid that's aged out. And he had been living in a tent in a backyard, and so he's getting into this place. So we'll have 51 right there. And then I've got land up in Merritt Island that we were able to tie up. And it looks like we can get 45 to 50 units there. So I'm thinking with the number of units that we are building up in the Melbourne area, Brevard County area, it'll solve the problem of housing for kids aging out
in
our community. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. What are their ages?
Well, they age at 18. 18. The funding stops to foster parents.
Okay.
And if they're in a shelter, you know, 17 years, 364 days, you're a child. Then you, the next day you're 18, on the street, you're an adult. Yeah. And so by law, you know, you can't have an adult now in with the minors in the shelter. So your birthday presents.
So how is this funded? Yeah. I mean, does all the state money dry up at that point?
To the foster care parent and to the shelter, yes. Now, there's all kinds of resources available to them. But 25% of these kids, when they turn 18 nationally, they end up homeless within a year.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of resources. But can you imagine trying to navigate going through the bureaucracy of that? You might not have a high school diploma. You might not even have your ID because you've been the last place you were at. You had to be taken out. And you're now on the street. And how can you navigate all of that? You know, so you have to have stable housing. And so that's the part that we provide.
Or how do you connect with the kids? Is it through a court or how do you end up with residents?
Oh, yeah. 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 We work with the state. There's an organization that has a foster care contract for a 4-county area. And then this other organization that we're partnering with, Ways for Life, they've reached these kids and they're working with them. So we won't have any trouble getting the teens.
Yeah. So the kids will come. How do you minister to them? What's the plan to reach them?
Yeah, that's the neat part. So what I see in researching all of this is generally these kids have a caseworker. And what happens is you sit down with a caseworker and the kid will sit down and, okay, what do you want to do with your life? You know, they come up with a plan. And then they'll meet with them weekly or monthly and try and work the plan and hold them accountable to it. So a lot of these kids can fall through the cracks with that because you might have a meeting one day and the next day you're in jail, you know. And so these developments that we're building now, we've got an on-site, what I call a resource center. Okay. And the one in Melbourne, it's really our mission home, which will sleep 26. So the idea is we'll have church teams come in and the mission team, the mission project will be to minister to the teens and will be on a daily basis. And not once a week. And so we can really bring the gospel in and the solutions because we'll be right there on site. So it's, you know, most of these kids are going to need meals and things like that. So mealtime is a great time to connect.
Sure.
You start building those relationships and then help them into prosperity. That's the plan. So it's got to be the gospel. It's got to be first.
So you currently have a house. And how many kids are in that house?
None are in that house.
None are in that house yet.
Because that's where the mission teams will
come. That's the mission team will come and stay there, and then we'll. So this is really a birthing time. You have a lot of experience. So how could our listeners today pray for you all? And is there any way that people who have a heart to get involved, maybe they have a mission team or something that might be able to connect with you? How would they reach you and? What would you have to say?
Great questions. So the first thing is, prayer. Is we have to birth all of this in prayer. Just the things that where we have gotten is a result of prayer.
Amen.
Right. And then Jesus's prayer. Hey, the harvest is ripe. The workers are few. I mean, that's we need workers, volunteers, things like that. And that would be great for a church team, like say from this area to come up. It'd be an easy mission trip. So instead of going to Mexico or Nicaragua or someplace, you come up
for like a week or something. So for pastors, this would be a great youth pastors.
Yes.
Maybe homeschool groups might be able to rally a team together in the summer. This is great.
This is great.
But you're looking for young people that will be able to come in to minister along with adult leadership, right?
Does not have to be young people. What it has to be is someone who wants to pour their life into these young people. They need to know that they're unconditionally loved, that they have value, that they have purpose, and an incredible future ahead of them, and you're there to support them and to help them with it.
Wow.
And so the problem with affordable housing is it's not affordable to build or to acquire.
Yeah.
So so this first one we've got it all financed and all of that. The second one we've got a lot of that, but we're going to need capital if we're going to keep doing these. We need tens of thousands of these nationwide to house all of these kids. So we've got to bring it's with donated dollars. We've got to bring the cost of the project down so that all of the numbers work for getting the financing. And eventually, I want to get all the financing paid off because I don't want the income to go to the lender. I want it to be poured back into resources for the ministry for the kids.
That's awesome. Well, Dwight, we're unfortunately our time has just flown by as I knew it would. Bringing you all in, I'm so blessed that you all stopped in person today. We're going to want to follow up with this. We can do it by phone, but we're going to want to follow up. We're going to want to track your development and bring some testimonies in, and maybe we'll be able to bring some young people along to be a part with us. How can people contact you? What's the best way for people to find out more about the ministry?
Yes. So for the housing portion of the ministry, our website, CapernaumPlace.com. And Capernaum, of course, is Jesus' hometown. And really to fulfill scripture in Isaiah when he went to that region, people living in darkness have seen a great light. So that's why we named it Capernaum, but CapernaumPlace.com. And then the overall ministry, Wings of Grace Ministries, .org.
And that continues at this point as well, right?
Oh, yes, yes. We now have six chapters of Wings Grace of our teen flight program. We're international. We've got one over in the Bahamas. We're awesome. Starting up our seventh down in western Palm Beach County.
Mm. Awesome. Wow, that's fantastic. Now,
can people donate on the websites?
They can, yes, sir.
On both websites?
On both of them, yes.
Good.
And we'd love to give a tour, anybody who wants to come up and just see it. You really need to see this thing to see the power in
so
it.
So the home base is in Melbourne?
Yes, sir.
So you're not that far away?
Not far at all.
You're close.
Power drive.
All right. Well, that is absolutely tremendous. I am thrilled to hear this, and what a great need. And that is one area we have God bringing people to us, and just thinking about some of the stories of people that have been in the system and how traumatic that can be in and of itself, and the exposure to so many different things often that are not good.
Yes.
And then being dumped on the street without knowing who you are or where to go is a huge need. And of course, the body of Christ must respond to these needs. This is really the call of Christ.
Yes.
So, Angela, do you have a song for us as we close today? Why don't you share a song with us?
Okay. I once was blind, but now I see.
Mm.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, I did not get to get a report on the kids that have gone through the music training, and did not really get to explore to find out whether or not you still go out and minister in churches and you're available.
AngelaOnline.com.
Okay. She was ready with that, wasn't she?
AngelaOnline.com. I don't do as much teaching in this season now with us going out and doing fundraising and that.
Right.
But I always love to sing, and I will always do my very best to make that happen.
Amen. That is awesome. Mm. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today. And Dwight, would you just close this time in a moment of prayer for these kids? We want to invite all of our listeners to link up with us today and just recognize probably some of you have sons and daughters that are out there. Some of you may be sons and daughters that are out there that need to connect. And we know that because we have people of all ages listening. You may be grandparents today. You may say, how can I make a difference? This is one way that God is making a difference. So lead us.
Yes. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to come and share. And Father, we just see in this country of great wealth, so many living in poverty, and a country of freedom, and so many in bondage, either in jail or substance abuse. And we know the solution to that, and that is your Son and your kingdom. And so, Father, we just lift up the most vulnerable in our community, our children, Jesus. And especially those who have lost their parents for one way or another, and they really, really, really need your love, your unconditional love, and your salvation. So, Father, we would just pray that you would lay on the heart of the listeners here at WCNO how they might be able to sow into these young lives. And we know that we're going to invest in them one way or another, Father. It'll be either later on in prison cells or drug treatment programs and loss of productivity, or we can do that now and bring them into the kingdom and stop this cycle of poverty and despair. So, Father, we just pray that you touch hearts of the listeners, and that we just know you're faithful, and we place it in your hands. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, we know that God is at work in America, that there is an awakening that is going on right now, and there is revival that's going on right now. And so we're thrilled to have you all here and just hear how God is touching your hearts and reaching others that are coming along. Once again, give your web pages, Dwight.
All righty, it's CapernaumPlace.com, WingsOfGraceMinistries.org, and AngelaOnline.com. And that's A-N-G-E-L-I-A, AngelaOnline.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to go to a song in just a couple moments. We have a great guest, I believe. Yes, we have Apostle Trevor Banks going to be with us this morning. So we're going to be with him in just a few moments. Again, thank you so much, Dwight and Angela.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
We want to see revival.
And we definitely want to see revival. I believe we're seeing some revival, certainly seeing a lot of great signs. I want to welcome Apostle Banks with us today. Apostle, welcome. You certainly are not a newcomer to WCNO.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I know you have a lot of exciting things that are taking place at your church. Great men's conference that's coming up. Let's just start for a moment. How long have you been in ministry in this area?
In this area, our church actually just celebrated this past year, 2024, 32 years.
32 years.
32, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, God's been speaking to me a lot about faithfulness and the importance of finishing strong. And not just having, you know, firecracker beginnings, but understanding to keep running that race, and that's awesome. And I love to talk with brothers and sisters in the kingdom who have actually experienced God in such a way to where all of the dime store trinkets the devil throws at us, by his grace, God has kept our eyes on the prize, and there is a real prize out there, for sure. Amen. Well, this is exciting. I know your church is going through a sort of a relocation, just a tremendous vision. Tell us a little bit about that. What's taking place?
Well, we have a vision to build. We're in the process. A lot of things are happening right now. A lot of wheels turning, I'll say. As a matter of fact, my son and I just returned from California to meet with some more developers that are interested in the project.
Excellent.
We have 17.43 acres on Jenkins Road that the Lord blessed
Great
us
location.
To purchase back in 2012.
Excellent.
And ever since we've had, well, even before that, back in about 1997 is when the vision actually started in my spirit. But we're at a place now where we're working on permitting. My son is our CEO, and he can get in a lot more detail concerning the project than I can. But the project itself consists of, as was your first guest, affordable housing.
Okay.
122 units.
Excellent.
On one end of the property. On the other end, there's a small micro hotel.
Okay.
In between, there's a school.
Okay.
Then there, of course, is the sanctuary, and then a sports complex.
Excellent.
And on the campus will be, we have designs for restaurants and kiosks and barbershops and, you know, a UPS store and just different things that are kind of like a little city, self-contained, you know, but we have a school of stature that we do, and we have students come in from places like in Africa and across the U.S., and it'll be a place that totally houses them. They don't have to go off the campus.
That's excellent.
Yeah, things like
that. That is excellent. So this is in the works right now. I mean, it's not something that have vision for in the future. It is a vision that's being fulfilled by the grace of God right now.
Yes, right now.
That's
we're
awesome.
We're in the midst of the process, and the gentleman that we just met with, and we've had some developers for a couple of years now, actually did a lot of work for Disneyland. So they invited us to come to California to see what they've done. Incredible stuff. So
wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. And the thing I think with even the longevity is that we have to find that place of rest in God,
mm-hmm.
and let him be the one, You know, except he builds the house.
Yeah, we labor in vain, right? Labor in vain.
The city.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, Pastor, you and your wife, your sons, your congregation has been a great ministry. You've been a part of WCNO for a lot of years. I know long before I came in here. Of course, I knew Tom and was in the area ministering before there was a WCNO. And I remember when WCNO came in, that was like a great answer to prayer. We were looking for another means, local station that would be able to lift up Christ. And you've been a part of this ministry. We're getting ready to celebrate 35 years. And so you've been here, what? Good portion of that.
Pastor, I think my wife could tell you better, but I think we were started in either 93 or 94, somewhere.
Yeah, like our third or fourth year.
Yeah.
Because 1990 is when the station went on air in April in 1990. So, so that's been a long time. How has your partnership with WCNO as a pastor in a local church, how has that worked? Has it been beneficial? I mean, you're still here, so I'm trusting that it's been beneficial. Talk just a little bit about that, because a lot of pastors tell me, oh, nobody listens to radio. That's an old thing.
Well, contrary to that thinking, we have lots of our current members that have been with us a long time that actually heard about the church on radio before the internet got popular, all that when it came in, and there are still those who attend, visit, have seen us online or heard us on radio, and the slot that we have on radio, I think, is a really good time. It's like drive time.
It is. So, it's key.
You know, anyone turns the radio on, they can find us between 7:45 to 8:00, and so that's been very beneficial. I can't begin to say. I don't think we've ever took a census of people, but anytime we have our new our covenant commitment class where people are coming in to join that body, we ask how they heard about the church, and scores and scores of people, radio.
Yeah.
And listen to you for a year or 2 years, and you know, things like that. So it's been very beneficial to us.
Well, that's tremendous, and you know, I'm not trying to twist your arm to get a promo for WCNO, but
honestly,
I just really believe that that many people, many pastors, don't understand because they think of podcast and they think of all the private personal ways that people have so many different accesses to information, and that is all true, but that has not hindered or reduced the participation in Christian radio. There is a tremendous number of people. And of course, you know, we're here reaching into a lot of counties, so you have a lot of people that listen that are down in Palm Beach or maybe even down south of there into Dayton, Broward County, you know, 12 counties. We cover a big reach here, so you have been an awesome partner with us. Thank you for your ministry. And of course, your ministry builds the kingdom alongside of us, and it's been tremendous. Let's talk about the Men's Summit. The Treasure Coast Men's Summit. What is that, and when is that getting ready to happen?
Well, this will be our second year. The Lord impressed upon our heart to do a Men's Summit in 2024 in January, and I believe He's going to want us eventually to do it annually.
Okay.
And it is called we call it the Treasure Coast Men's Summit 2025. The theme of it this year is the return of the glory, the call to rise. It'll be conducted at the Havert Finn Center. We're doing 2 days this year. We did 1 day last year, just a Saturday. This year we'll start it on a Friday night at 7, have a service then, and then Saturday we'll begin at 8:15 with a continental breakfast. At 9:00 we'll do a portion of praise and worship, and then we'll have our first guest speaker. There are actually six speakers throughout the day. From Friday, Friday we have coming in, and he's acquainted with our area, and many will know of him. But Bishop Larry Jackson from Bethel Outreach International out of Charlotte.
Yes.
He'll be with us Friday night, and he'll be with us through the weekend as well. We also have Pastor Alex Pappas from Oceans United. He'll be conducting one of our sessions. We have Apostle Ronnie Jenkins from Faith Restoration Worship Center in Fort Pierce. We also have Pastor John Hamilton, Central Assembly. He'll be conducting one of the sessions as well. Also, our dear brother, Pastor Chris Fogle from The Way Cafe, he'll be doing a estate planning meeting.
Very important.
Preparing men for preparing estates to pass on for legacy purposes. So that's in a nutshell that weekend. I had spoken to you, and what we're going to be doing between each session is we have five pastors who will be making a decree with all the men that are there. We'll stand them up, and we'll speak it together as Israel blended their voices at the wall of Jericho. There was power in that. The walls had to come down. And this is, I think, the core purpose, if I might say, or intention or motivation, is to make an effort to bring us to the place of God's commanded blessing. He says that in Psalm 133, when the oil covered the garment of Aaron, it says at the border, when the oil covered the entire body, God says there he commanded a blessing. Yeah. I've come to understand that same commanded blessing is the commanded blessing of Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. So as you were saying earlier about revival and restoration with the church, I believe the best and the most exciting days of the church are ahead of us. I think it'll come through that unity, making the effort to, you know, cross all the lines of politics, denominations, and all this stuff, to just fellowshipping and connecting as brothers. You know, what do we have in common? That's the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God. All the other stuff is not important. It's bringing that unity where God says, there I can command the blessing.
Amen.
So that's the main motivation and main engine is this summit to speak to men, to gather men, to restore men, to bring about a fellowship among men. I believe it was Malachi said, in the last days the Lord will send the spirit of Elijah. And that spirit's objective would be to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. In other words, there's an institution that's got to be restored and recovered again. And it says that there God will take the curse out. The curse will be broken. You know, and so as we unite as men and find our proper place, there's a return of the glory. But when David made the endeavor to bring the glory back to Jerusalem, he found out there was a due order. You just couldn't bring it in on the ox cart like the Philistines.
Right.
There was a due order that he had to follow to bring it to its proper place. But when it was there, that's where God commands the blessing. And so I like to look at us, Pastor, like a spoke in the wheel. There are a lot of other amazing things going on in our region.
Sure.
And a spoke in that wheel to strengthen that wheel to bring us to that place of unity, you know, to where God says the commanded blessing has to break out.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, everything you're saying, thinking about how the enemy would love for us to be tangled up in earthly level conversations and miss the fact that we're kingdom people and the kingdom's eternal, where the earthly is passing away, the kingdom is going to be forever. And so these relationships that are forged now are not temporary.
Amen.
They're eternal.
You know, I find one of the challenges, and God's doing this, you know, what he's doing it. We just have to bring a certain order or posture, position ourselves in a certain place. Remember when Elisha prophesied and said, by this time tomorrow, there will be plenty in the gate of Samaria. There was a location.
Yes.
Just so happened that some lepers were there in the gate.
Yep.
In the gate where he prophesied, that word went out. He said, my word is spirit. The word went out, and the lepers who had no hope, you know, they're going there, you're going to die of starvation, go out there, they're going to kill you. suddenly one of them said, why should we sit here and die? See, that word hit them. They were in the right place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That word motivated them, and they became part of the solution. And so, like with Philip, when Jesus said, sit the 5,000 down, and then he said, Philip, how will we feed them? Philip said, listen, if we had 200 pennyworth, we couldn't buy enough to feed everybody a little pinch. But it says the Lord already knew what he would do. Yeah, already knew, but he wanted Philip to see where he was. See, we're at a place where God's going to defy the natural order. The natural mind is no longer going to hinder what the Spirit is doing. The renewing of our mind. This is so important. There's going to be, we're in the process of a great awakening.
Yes.
People are awakening to so much of the deception, so much of the smoke screens that the enemy has, it's no longer keeping us hostage. Now we're being freed. But yes, Philip that, and Philip didn't know, but the Lord already knew what he would do. But he's showing us, we can't allow our mind to cause our spirit to fail.
Right.
Our mind can't fail our spirit. So, I like to think we must, one of the key factors to conquering is joy. The fruit of joy. See, God doesn't give us fruit. He gives us seed. Mm. We have to develop the fruit. He gave us all the seed. The word is the seed is the word. He's giving it to us. It's in us. So the things that come to us, we have to learn how to cultivate that in the midst of these circumstances. I coined a little slogan, learn to be comfortable in the midst of discomfort. That place of Goshen, that place of peace, what's going on around you. Why? Because what's in you will prevail, and eventually what's around you will have to submit to what's in you. If it's anxiety and fear and that, you'll struggle all the time.
Right.
But if you stay poised and allow the joy of the Lord, stay buoyant, then darkness can't comprehend the light. It's got to flee. It's got to submit.
Amen.
And so this is our last day's battle.
So, Apostle, we want to shout out to the men. And today we may have a lot of wives of men that are listening. So you may need to be the messenger to say, hey, honey, I've got a great plan for you coming up here. And I know all of you guys are totally in charge of all things. I understand that. But, some of you wives who are listening, you know what I mean. You know how to say, honey, we kind of need to put this on the calendar coming up. Let's give those dates again, the 24th through the 25th, January, this month, 24th, 25th. And this is open to all the men in the body of Christ. This is a call for godly men to get out of your box and get out of maybe one's in a rut. We won't blame too many for being in ruts, but maybe one or two are in some ruts. Set a plan in place, because what you're saying is we individually have an opportunity to make some choices. And those choices can really release the glory of the Lord in powerful ways when we make a choice to prioritize seeking God and the kingdom and putting ourselves in the place where we're going to be able to not only receive, but to become a partner and participant. So this is a great event. Apostle, tell us one more time exactly what this is. What do people have to do to be a part?
Well, there's a link. You can go to our website. There's a link.
Registration? Is there a registration?
For
registration.
It's TC. Okay. Let me see here. It's tcmenssummit.com.
Okay. Actually, I just found that on your flyer here. tcmenssummit.com.
Two S's and two M's.
There you go. And again, this is at the Finn Center, 2000 Virginia Avenue, Fort Pierce, Florida. And this is this month, January the 24th, 25th. Both events are at the Finn Center.
Yes.
The Friday evening and the Saturday.
Friday evening and Saturday, all day.
Is there a charge?
Yes, there's still early bird registration, and that's $25. And for 16 and under, is $15. After the early bird registration is $30. There will be a continental breakfast, and there will be a lunch prepared as well on Saturday. We had a great time last year. Had close to, or I think a little bit above 300 men to show up.
Excellent.
But we're looking for God to just do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
How many ever he wants to bring, but we'll have a great time.
Well, you you pulled some of the leaders from the region that have a life, a great witness, and I know that God's going to release a tremendous tremendous word and a tremendous freshness and anointing on our region, on the Treasure Coast. So that is absolutely awesome. Apostle, what else is on your heart? We've got about 3 minutes left. As we kind of wrap up our Wednesday morning, so glad all of you joined us today.
Well, just excited about the times in which we live, about the results of our election, what I see across the nation.